No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and we're here to talk matchups versus the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. Much anticipated matchup ever since we saw the schedule first come out. Joining me to do that, as always, is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for really a heavyweight battle against Detroit. It's going to be blackout on Monday, so excited to really just be a part of the atmosphere and get ready for the game.
These primetime games in Baltimore have become Baltimore's little Super Bowls in a way. The last matchup with Detroit was a Sunday day game, and while highly anticipated, ended up being a complete blowout where the Ravens in 23 mashed one of the five teams that were very good that they faced and beat them by two touchdowns. Actually, they beat Detroit by, five touchdowns in that game.
Yeah.
This week the Lions come in after a 52-point pile up on the Bears, and that was a week after not showing up at all in that game against Green Bay, when again they trailed 27-6 late before getting a garbage time touchdown.
Yeah, and it really shows you the difference in competition that are going against. I mean, the Packers seem to be legit contenders in the NFC, and then you have the Bears who have talent but just don't have the cohesion and the coaching to go with it. So I think Detroit knows how to beat the teams they should beat, but let's see if they can either come to face the noise against the real contender for the Super Bowl, or if they'll have a repeat performance that they had against the Packers.
And last I checked, and it's been a couple of days now, the Ravens are about 5.5-point favorites in this game. And my immediate reaction to that was, that's more than I would expect coming off that game against the Bears. A little surprised yourself?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe more so like 3.5 or 2.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, because these are two not evenly matched teams, but across the board, they do team up very well. I mean, they have stars all over the place. You have receivers, you have corners, you have all the skilled players, and then you have the secondary players, such as offensive line and defensive line. So, I mean, I was expecting it to be closer, for sure. Maybe Vegas knows something we don't know.
All right. Well, hopefully the Ravens' strengths really show out in this game. But let's talk about that. I'm starting with the defense in this first show. I'll start with the first one in this case. I think that the inside linebacker play has to be able to take care of Goff. And they work in concert with the safeties because Goff's favorite place to throw is over the middle of the field between level two and three, and in front of the linebackers too. But between level two and three is really the area. Goff had 156 passer rating last week versus the Bears, five touchdowns, no interceptions. The week before against the Packers, a good defensive team, they held him down to 4.7 yards per pass and an interception. His pass rating was still about 88, but he certainly didn't have a good day if he's throwing for under 5 yards a pass. Definitely likes to throw in that middle of the field. He's got a lot of targets, starting with Amon-Ra, who's a good crossing player, a good slant player. Also got Sam Laporta, who's an outstanding tight end. So they have multiple options. In addition to that, they have Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs is a receiver this year, has not really broken out yet. He's got 13 catches in two games, which is a lot. You say, oh, wow, 13 catches, and he's got four missed tackles. And that's an awful lot for a running back, too. But he's got eight other missed tackles that are on runs, by the way. Four, just the 13 receptions. So he's been a missed tackle machine so far. But he's only, despite all those missed tackles, only 3.2 yards per target. He caught them all, caught every ball, and he's only totaled up 41 yards on 13 catches. So that's not much. Give you a chance to jump in here before I deliver the rest of this.
No, all good. I think Goff isn't really a one-read guy. He can get to a second read, but most of the time it's almost like Joe Flacco-esque last week, trying to get to his primary guy. If the second guy is not there, then he's going to drop it down to either Gibbs or Montgomery. So I'm looking to see if the Ravens can continue their downhill play with Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith being like enforcers on the defense.
Yeah, it's going to take the Ravens inside linebackers a little bit out of their comfort zone. We saw some decent zone play from Buchanan getting in passing lanes this last week. I don't think we've seen that from Simpson really to date. We have seen Roquan Smith, you know, given a set of responsibilities that's more downhill and more Roquan friendly, had his best career game this last week. So it'd be nice if he could stay in that role. I'm not sure that's going to be possible in this one, because there's more doors to guard and be aware of in terms of where the Lions can get the football. They're going to need to do some coverage disguising. And when I say that, most of what I want the Ravens to do between level two and level three is do some robber techniques to come down out of level three and take routes away. So you see Laporta or possibly Amon-Ra coming down, have a player coming down into a spot proactively to try and take that away. And then that'll really frustrate Goff, because Goff, as you mentioned, is not really a second read or third read quarterback. He's not a natural play finder like Lamar Jackson when the play is extended. So he wants to get rid of that football out of his hands, and with good reason, because he's he's not particularly fast or dangerous when that happens. I think the key is they do roll Goff to either side. And I had Coach Derek from All 22 Films on for the Know Your Foe episode, and he made the point that Goff is fairly good moving to his left. And my feeling about that is he's a right-handed quarterback. He's not particularly fast. I think he's okay rolling to his left if the boot is designed. I don't think he's okay being flushed left. I don't think he's good that way. So we'll see how that breaks down. But the Ravens really need to try and contain their pressure to flush him right. Flush him left, rather.
Yeah, naturally, like you want to do with a right-handed quarterback. I think the main thing is Jared Goff is a smart quarterback, so maybe we do have to limit the blitz this week, because he is able to read hot and get his out to his primary reads on those. So I think I want to see more pressure. We can't just send the house and expect to work like it did with Wink Martindale for a little bit. But I think you have to be way more smarter with Goff, send more sim, and then see if he's able to do it. Like we had maybe how many, three or four corner blitzes last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe continue to throw that in the loop, slot corner blitzes, maybe Kyle Hamilton off the edge this week, see what can work and what combinations can make something happen for us.
Yeah. I like sending an extra man, and who you drop is really important. But I also think Goff is a quarterback who will be licking his chops if you show him a ton of sim pressure, because he does know how to read hot. It's one of his skills, and you don't want him You don't want to disadvantage linebackers that are already inherently kind of disadvantaged with a ton of sim pressure if they're going to have to subsequently make a drop. And of course, if it ends up being your defensive tackles who drop in that situation, it's that much worse.
Yeah.
In terms of really trying to take care of Goff. But he's not a threat to run the ball, and so you at least have that in terms of like Flacco. You know, he might run for one first down, but he won't run for four first downs on us in this game.
Yeah, no way. Moving on to my next point. This week I have the Ravens cornerbacks versus the Detroit Lions wide receivers and tight ends, mainly because we have Marlon might not go. He could go. If that's the case, then Keon Martin has to play a lot more snaps this week. And we have a receiver and tight end core that, and honestly, a running back room that can do a lot of damage through the air. You have Amon St. Brown leading the charge. And then you got J-Mo, who's a speed demon on the outside. And then also Laporta at tight end. So that three-headed monster is a lot to deal with. I'm looking to see if we can contain Jameson Williams over the top. It's going to be a big game for Starks to see if he doesn't make any big mistakes, continuing to keep the lid on the defense. I'm curious to see if they can match up with our physicality. I think we have real physical corners on the outside, except for Nate Wiggins. He's more of a speed guy, but I don't expect him. I'm anticipating the matchup with him and Jameson Williams to see how that speed on speed matchup works.
Okay. If they did that, they'd probably be switching sides, which the Ravens have never done before, or they have not done very often. Let's put it in their entire history. So you're suggesting that there may be some matchup play this week, some traveling CB.
Maybe. I don't think so. I think if Jameson lines up on Nate Wiggins' side, that's the matchup we'll see. I don't think Nate's going to travel, but if that's the case.
Right. Okay. So it's you certainly see Williams at the Z occasionally, and because they have, as the point has been made, interchangeable X's that they can use on that left side. So it's certainly a possibility we'll see some of that matchup. I think the point was important that Wiggins, you're not suggesting is going to travel to go after him, which means that they get the matchup they want. When they come to the line of scrimmage, they know who's going to be where, and they're going to have Jameson on a Woozier when they want, which is, it doesn't sound like a particularly good matchup. It sounds like you need help over the top for sure on that.
Exactly.
And that is it's a scary proposition. And I guess that's why you're getting into Starks.
Yeah. And that's why, So that's why I brought up Starks for the over top help. But if Jameson does end up playing on that side where Nate is, then I do expect it to be an island situation where it can't work, but we haven't seen Nate travel yet. So I don't see reasons for it to be something that could be happening in the future. So we'll see.
All right. Well, they've thrown Jameson the ball 9 times this year, despite this big offensive performance. But it does lead the team. No, he's second on the team behind Amon Ross St. Brown in yardage right now. And he's leads in yards per target by a good margin. He's had almost 15 yards per target this year.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, every play he catches is a big play. So we really have to watch for him. They love dialing up for him.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. I assume you're done with that, right? I'm not sure.
Okay,
great. Let's talk about the interior defensive line pressure. Now, that worked out for the Ravens against the Browns, and this was a game where if you really didn't think for some reason that Travis Jones was the key guy the Ravens need to re-sign.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Maybe over likely, but I think definitely over Linderbaum in terms of who the Ravens need to make sure they get signed. You saw it this last week. He absolutely was commanding double team after double team from Bitonio and Posick, who are two of the better Browns linemen, but neither one of them can handle him alone. Neither one of them can handle Jones alone. And then that left Matabike free for one-on-one fun with Wyatt Teller, who at one time was a really good pass blocker. He's not anymore, and he got pushed around into the cone repeatedly. The Lions bring that sort of a front. They've got kind of a taco front here, some old, some young, but nobody who's really in the prime of their career here. So Graham Glasgow, who's been around, this is his 10th season now with the Detroit Lions. The best I can describe him is he's their Mike Flynn. Now, Mike Flynn at his very best was not a bad lineman. Mike Flynn, you know, at the end and beginning of his career was not a particularly good lineman, unfortunately. And it's just the sad truth of the matter. Graham Glasgow is at that end of the career point where he's not very good anymore. He was good about 6 years ago. That's just not the case. So either Jones or Matabike, double teamed by one of those. The thing the Ravens, I think, will try and force is for a player to be peeled off the double team on one of those. This may create some opportunity for inside linebacker blitzes. Corner blitzes can accomplish the same thing if they're done through the B gap in particular, where you force one of those two offensive linemen to peel off. And particularly if they set up at a double team with an angular block from two different directions, that usually creates a great opportunity for what could be an underneath player on a stunt or just a player who's getting double teamed in the passing game. And I think the Ravens will try and do that. It could be a successful way to stop the run as well, to try and peel off a player and get Jones advantaged in that situation, or get Matabike if they choose to double him. We saw the Browns double Matabike, but a lot of it was right tackle, right guard, and not center, right guard, which is the way. I don't think the Lions will make the same mistake. Even as great as their tackles are, the way you neutralize the value of tackles is by having them have two assignments and only be one guy to block. So I don't think they'll try and do that. Anyway, try and flush Goff left, as we've talked about before. And I think the Ravens have a good chance in this one.
I think you make a really good point with making the blockers peel off with the sending blitzers, like with linebackers and safeties, because our rush does seem kind of sluggish, especially when we try to get the stunts going with just the four-man pass rush. We're just unable to break through on those double teams on the unders, and it's causing a lot of traffic with the over player. So if we get those, we had a couple. I know Roquan went up right up the middle, and that forced the interception to Nate Wiggins. Plays like that is more what we need to get this pass rush going and get a little more confidence boost for the four-man rush.
Yeah, I mean, early in the game, there was a really nice play where Keon Martin, I think, blitzed through the B gap. So it had to be on a dime play, I guess. But he came through the B gap to blitz. And the left tackle had a choice between blocking, I think it was Martin. I could be wrong. It might have been another defensive back. Or moving to the outside and blocking Owe. He had to let Owe go. And the reason that happened is because the Browns had committed to the double team on Jones, and they obviously had schemed not to give up on that. If they would have, that would have been the natural flow of that play. The left guard would have bumped out to try and pick up this B gap blitzer. He might not have been able to do it. He might have been too slow, but they would have tried to do it that way. But they weren't taking any chances with Jones against Flacco.
No, for sure. And also this week, moving on to my next matchup, is I'm really looking forward to us containing the outside pressure and keeping lane rush integrity this week. We did a good job last week, obviously, against a non-mobile quarterback. Again, this week, we have to keep the same mentality. Kyle Van Noy is out with a hamstring, so we're going to see a lot of Mike Green. I will kind of had some of my fears for come to fruition a little bit with Mike Green playing out of control. I know it's the fourth quarter. That big Judkins run, came roaring off the edge. Like, dude, come on. You have to play base sound defense there. It's fourth quarter. They're not running a boot or anything at that point. Like, it's just we have to get him under control and not thinking. Because once he starts thinking, he could turn into Trent Simpson, where he's hesitant. He's not making instinctual reads. And we don't need that from an animal like him, what he's shown in preseason and camp. So continuing to get the outside pass rush pressure and also containing, not getting out of control, is another emphasis that I have this week as well.
All right. That's a good one. And I'm going to give Green a pass on the running himself out of that play. I noticed it. There's no two ways about him. Ran himself way out of that play on the 31 yard. It opened up a big hole. Now the Browns were down 41-10 at the time. Okay. I think it's 41-10, right? Or 41-17, right? It's 41-24 was the final. They won by 17, whichever it was. Okay. That doesn't matter. The Browns were down so far. They were not coming back in the game. And Green was thinking, oh, this is hunting time. I'm gonna pin my ears back and go. And so he's setting himself up for one of his extremely difficult to block pass rushes. And yep, sure enough, they run the football. There comes a time in a game where a team is so far behind, they'll just put the quarterback in and say, give us one good drive. That's all I want to see is one good drive. And they don't care that they're way down in the game. They want to play it as if it's the first quarter and go there. And that's right. That's what the Browns did on that drive. And Judkins' play, I think, was the first of the drive, might have been the second play of the drive, but it hadn't become apparent yet to the Ravens that that's what the Browns were doing on the drive. And that's where I think I give Green a pass on that. And obviously, from any kind of a leverage situation, there was zero leverage on that play. Okay, there's zero win probability leverage associated with that play in any way, shape, or form. So while I'd like to see him play sound assignment football and right. Understand his gap and whatnot, I'm okay with that.
And then also, have you been underwhelmed by Owe's performance so far?
Yeah, he was good in this last game, I thought, or reasonably good, getting in, getting some one-on-block pressure, one-on-block quarterback hit, another quarterback hit, and he drew a holding penalty, which was the big one.
Yep. Okay. I just they just continue to use the same chop move every time when they get to the top of the cone, and it's getting kind of old. I know they've been working on their bag, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing it. I'm not looking at the film enough.
All right. Well, Owe doesn't have a sack yet, and he's been kind of underwhelming from that perspective. And a lot of the talk around camp is, first of all, he's huge physically. He's gained about 20 pounds. There was a question of whether or not he could still move. I've seen him pursuing the quarterback. And honestly, this has really been true his whole career. There's nothing that would make you guess that he's a 4.36 guy from watching the guy pursue the quarterback in terms of short area quickness or even in terms of any longer area quickness. I mean, if someone said that to me and I didn't know already what he did at the combine and whatnot, I'd say that cannot be true. Yeah, I'm looking at him and I'm looking at other players, and you know, Aiden Hutchinson and others are quicker really in right. terms of what they do. It just doesn't look like it could possibly be true. I've been looking at a fair amount of 2000 Ravens film. The guy who is unbelievably quicker than his 40 time is Sam Adams. It's unbelievable. And the big thing is, you'll see this on running back plays. If there's any kind of a stumble, the running back is going to get run down in the open field because he's lost a lot of his momentum and he has to rebuild. He has to accelerate again to get to top speed. Right. Well, Sam Adams, because of his first step, was so explosive and could get to top speed very quickly that he was really a freak of nature back then for the 2000 Ravens. And you see him chasing down the quarterback and you're like, my God, that looks like Micah Parsons doing that. You know, right. that doesn't look like a defensive tackle. But anyway.
That's a real good point. We don't have any closers like that right now. We're hoping Mike Green could be that closer that could just, in that short area, finish a guy. But
yeah, he definitely is the guy who can get to top speed quickly and can make his opponent look foolish, but then really get in on the quarterback. And it'll be good. It's going to be a lot more play from him this week, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, he's destined to have at least over 60 to 65% of the snaps without KVN.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think they basically have to split him up with each of the three guys playing about 2/3 of the snaps. And if they do get Ojabo back,
I was going to say Ojabo this week.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking forward to that, honestly, but I don't think Ojabo should play over 30% of the snaps. Yeah. We'll see how they do that. And if they really try and rest Green, the reason
probably first down, I expect him to be.
Yeah. Be on early downs. He'd be out there. So he won't be, this will not be a happy year for David Ojabo because he's not going to be active a lot when KVN is back, or even if the Ravens make an acquisition. And the second possibility is that when he is active, he's going to get non-critical pass rush downs to be on the field. Cause they're going to want, Green and Owe to be on the field and maybe even Tavius some. Otherwise, so he's kind of being in year four promoted into a Tavius Robinson Jr. role, for what he does for this team. It's not, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Ojabo goes wild in this situation. We see 5 sacks and all of a sudden, by week 13, he becomes a situational pass rusher that the Ravens are completely dependent on. Yeah. All right. Frazier, always a pleasure doing the show with you. Tell folks where they can find your stuff online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. We do this show twice a week, every week. So look for the offense show. That'll be out tomorrow. You're probably listening to this on Saturday. We have a kind of spreading out the shows a little bit more this week in anticipation of that Monday night game. Look for Frazier on Sunday morning, and they'll still be up there on Monday for your commute as well, if you care to defer. For Frazier Tafar, this is Ken McCusick, and I'll talk to you next time on Matchups.